God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. What do you think is the top story in God's eyes? I mean, it's a dangerous thing for us to try to think like God. We can't. But we can do this. We can consult his word. We can be with his people. We can seek spiritual mentors, people who are more mature Christians than we are. We can talk with them. We can pray, and we can observe. And when we observe the world through those lenses. So do you think that the top story to God is, as we talked about yesterday, that he's stunned, absolutely stunned, to see the attempts to mock him during the Olympic opening ceremonies? I don't think so. In fact, I know not. God cannot be stunned. He cannot be surprised or shocked. I don't know that he can be amazed at us and what human beings are capable of doing. After all, God has always existed and always will exist, and he has seen this play countless times. Countless. He's seen a proud people decide to attempt to mock him. What's fascinating to me is how the mockingbird media, Fox News included in this case, Fox does do a better job than most networks. I'm hard on them because I think they should just come out and announce the parts of stories they're going to cover from the left and the banned news, because there's banned stories that Fox doesn't cover, but they do a far better job than most of the mockingbirds. But they play this game. This was the headline, it was Monday morning. Paris Olympics drag queen torchbearer rips criticism of opening ceremony. We ain't going nowhere. Nikki Doll was among the drag queens who carried the torch. The way they teased this on their homepage was that this so-called drag queen had issued a threat. A drag queen was one of the many torchbearers of the Paris Olympics, had a message for the critics of, amid uproar over the opening ceremony, which appeared to mock the Last Supper. Nikki Doll was among the drag queens who carried the torch for the Olympic flame, but also performed during one segment of the ceremony. Doll reposted an image on his Instagram stories, claiming the image depicted not that of the Last Supper, but the Feast of Dionysus. "The opening ceremony did ruffle some feathers, and I love it," Doll wrote on his Instagram stories on Monday. "You know why? Because the Olympics are the biggest stage in the world, and us queer people have always been the audience of other people's lives. And the achievement is time that we are welcomed into this space." On Sunday, Doll called it an honor to perform at the opening ceremony. "It was my absolute honor to perform in front of billions of people around the world and celebrate our Olympians. And remember, to the ones that had their feathers ruffled, seeing queerness on their screen, we ain't going nowhere." You never have. You're not new. There's nothing unique about you. At all. Not even a little bit. Men like you have always existed. Men who want to mock God have always existed. Men who want to take on a female persona have always existed. Now, it's become more commonplace because historically men who wanted to do this did this hiding. You don't hide anymore. And you've always existed. The attitude you display has always existed. On the claim that this ceremony didn't mock the Last Supper, that it was instead celebrating Dionysus, that's not what the French Olympic Committee said. The French Olympic Committee, in an official tweet, said it was the Last Supper. The French media reported it was the Last Supper. And I can show you the screenshot of the French media reporting that. We ran it on my podcast my video podcast. You can get a 7-day free trial at video.thetoddhermanshow.com. It was right there. They said this was the Last Supper. So people like this have always existed. And so what do you think is the top news story for God? It's not the Olympics. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's the fact that AI tools are refusing to hide, are refusing to discuss an assassination attempt against President Trump. This is Meta's AI. Someone wrote, "Tell me about the assassination attempt on Trump." The AI responded, "I can't assist with that. I don't always have access to the most up-to-date information. Can I help you with anything else? Tell me about Kamala Harris's campaign for president 2024. Kamala Harris's 2024 campaign for president. And then it goes through bullet point items, a ton of them. The announcement date, her so-called platform. Maybe that's the top news story to God. I don't think so. If I'm to consult the Bible and his word, and I'm to look back and compare his word and compare the Bible, what do I come up with? I come up with a God who cannot be shocked or surprised. He can be hurt. He can feel hurt. And what would he give Nikki Doll, this man who likes to pretend to be a woman and gets paid to do it? What would he give Nikki? A second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and 77th times 77th chance to repent. And if Nikki Doll does not want that chance, does not want to take that chance, or in other words, accept redemption, then God will be left with one alternative: to give Nikki Doll exactly what Nikki Doll appears to want, which is eternity apart from God. The top news story in my mind, thinking through the Bible, is the gospel, the good news. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and be baptized. This is official France TV. Said it was the Last Supper, in French, of course. And they apparently got this from the Olympic Committee. So it was not an official Olympic tweet, my apologies. It was France TV. They said in France that it was the Last Supper, and then they deleted the tweet. Just like AIs are deleting any and all information about the president's assassination attempt, or the assassination attempt of President Trump. There's this. New York Times wrote, "Speculation swirls about what hit Trump. An analysis suggests a bullet." Yeah, an analysis does suggest it was a bullet. And incidentally, shrapnel can kill you just as dead as a bullet in many cases. So the New York Times is struggling to find a way to say, yes, President Trump was nearly killed. The White House is benefiting again from election interference, and in this case, they're benefiting from Google. I shared with you Meta's AI, not wanting to discuss the assassination attempt on President Trump. Many people over the weekend and even on Monday yesterday were trying Google and other search engines, entering assassination attempt on letter T, and Google suggests Truman, Teddy Roosevelt, the Pope. So people completed the next letter, assassination attempt on TR, and Google suggested assassination attempt on Truman, assassination attempt meaning most assassination attempts, famous assassination attempts, assassination attempt on President Truman. So they went a little further, assassination attempt on TRU, assassination attempt on Truman. How many presidents had an assassination attempt? TRUM. They never did get an AI to respond with President Trump. So this artificial intelligence, as it's called, and it's not intelligence, it's a very, very fancy search engine operating in natural language. That's it. It's not intelligent. God invents intelligence. Human beings invent code. We don't invent intelligences. So this intelligence, so-called, programmed by human beings, has no idea that there was an assassination attempt against President Trump. And the International Olympic Committee doesn't want you to have any idea that they mocked God. So they're going about the internet challenging posts that contain their music. That's the excuse. Social media posts that contain the music from the opening ceremony showing the satanic dances and the mocking of the Last Supper. And it was obviously a mocking of the Last Supper and the white horse of the apocalypse. And they've got their excuse for that one, too. They're wanting to delete these things. So they are going and charging people with copyright violations for daring to show them online, or in my case, on our podcast. We discussed this with my producer and production team. And are we going to run the music behind the video? And we decided we'll run the music. And the most they'll do is go and make Spotify and YouTube and others take it down. But I want them to have to make me take it down. It was a news event. The opening of the Olympics is a news event. We get to comment on news events. Sometimes there are secular sources that explain our world pretty well. And if you think about the lies, and God cannot lie because he is truth, he cannot be lied to. I mean, he can be lied to, but he sees through them all. If you think about it, I find it difficult to find a better secular explanation for what's going on with all the lying from government than Hannah Arendt said. She was a German historian and philosopher, born in 1906, died in 1975. This constant lying is not aimed at making the people believe a lie, but at ensuring that no one believes anything anymore. A people that can no longer distinguish between truth and lies cannot distinguish between right and wrong. And such a people, deprived of the power to think and judge, is, without knowing and willing it, completely subjected to the rule of lies. With such a people, you can do whatever you want. With such a people, you can do whatever you want. It puts the needle in its skin if it wants to work again. It masks its children, even its infants. It believes things like that was the safest, most secure election in history. And it believes lies like this from CBS News. Trump falsely accuses Harris of donating to Minnesota Freedom Fund, bailing out, quote, dangerous criminals. And then, of course, the famous, infamous tweet right below that that someone placed. If you're able to, chip in now to the Minnesota Bail Fund to help post bail for those protesting on the ground in Minnesota. Protesting, of course, meaning shooting at cops in many cases and burning buildings down and beating people. She may not have directly donated. But when the woman to whom we're referred to as vice president puts out a tweet like this, you better believe it raised money. I'd like to know how much. The top story to God, I contend, will continue to be that redemption is available for those who are willing to treat the Lord Jesus like the Savior that he is, the Messiah that he is, to act that way, to let the Holy Spirit then change them, and to do their very best to allow the process of sanctification to occur. That is not always easy. My wife posted a meme the other day from Facebook. And it shows the process of conversion, that famous scene from the Titanic where the two young people are on the bow of the boat and they're celebrating and the world is grand. And then sanctification, that freezing, the freezing waters together, the pain of sanctification. People like Nikki Doll, I think, want to live solely in pleasure, the pleasure of pretending to be a woman, the pleasure of taking a condition that he probably has called autogynephilia, which is a psychiatric condition where one is aroused, a male is aroused by getting people to pretend he's a female and to build a living around it, a pretty successful living around it. And that living one day will become a dying because we all die, every one of us. And that Olympic ceremony that he was involved in, that obviously mocked God. I pray, I really do pray, that Nikki Doll does not pay for that for eternity. And it wouldn't be just that act. God doesn't do that on a single act, but on a life led purposely adverse to God, purposely and with pride. We'll come back with more political news on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling coming up and wrap up the show with a personal observation. Someone who's in a kind of long-term wrestling match with God. Share with you some of the ways I think the enemy plays on our minds in that. And I'll share with you something I've tried to make of a ritual. I think it's been helpful to me. It's a godly ritual, I believe. And it's not always easy when you're in the middle of these wrestling matches to let God win. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in the wrestling match. Plus, just an example, two examples of government producing prideful people, people who, well, shouldn't be in government, and yet God does allow them to be there. I think he's telling us something. There's a woman named Kamala Harris who probably shouldn't be in government. She's now, of course, been anointed, officially anointed. There has been no votes. No one in the Democratic primaries voted for her. 14 million people supposedly voted for Biden to be the presidential nominee for the Democrat Party. A small group of people, according to investigative journalist, longtime investigative journalist, Seymour Hersh, it was Barack Hussein Obama, God bless Rush Limbaugh, who used to call Obama that. It was Barack Obama who had the final phone call, apparently, with figurehead Biden, telling him, hey, look, Joe, here's the deal. And he threatened to use the 25th Amendment. That would be Kamala Harris using the 25th Amendment to remove figurehead Biden from his ceremonial position as president. That sounds about right. Now, on one hand, the figurehead is clearly not capable of leading the country. Sadly, he is beleaguered by Parkinson's and should be spending his time, I think, in prayer and reconciliation with the God who created him. I don't want it to be the case, but his time is short. That happens as we age. So they threatened the 25th Amendment to get him to step aside in this primary, according to Seymour Hersh. Nancy Pelosi was part of this. Kamala Harris was part of this. The entire Democrat leadership structure at the top was part of it. And it was finally that his legacy, the figurehead's legacy, would be at risk of being kicked out of office by the 25th Amendment, and thus he stood aside. Now, that's not proven, but it's Seymour Hersh's reporting, and that's been pretty spot on. And Seymour Hersh seems to be, I'm guessing, a bit of a leftist, at least on topics of war. But then, given his writing, I can't really tell. And that's something we should admire in journalists. But let's think about this from a skeptical perspective. Let's just look at some patterns. Was Kamala Harris ever going to be an asset to the figurehead in running for president again, or running to remain in office for a second term? This is April 26th, 2024, way back in time. Almost hard to remember April 26th, 2024. That's almost several months ago. And this is what CNN said about Kamala Harris on the ticket as the vice president.
Interesting news. Recent focus groups conducted by the Super PAC Republican voters against Trump found that swing voters don't like Harris. And focus groups conducted by the Democratic National Committee also found Harris rubbed some people the wrong way.
I think she's a pretty big drag. I think she was arguably Biden's worst political decision of his presidency to pick her in the first place.
A recent national poll, 40% approved of the vice president's job performance, while 55% disapproved.
And she really does struggle with her communication skills.
One of the things that people objected to was her voice. They said they found her voice, especially her laugh, annoying.
Oh, dear.
You know, that's besides the point.
It's precisely the point.
So
her voice is an issue.
She's got a problem with communicating. She sounds like a prosecutor. I would say that's probably she sounds like what she was for years. I think the issue is she's also a woman. She's also a woman of color. And I'm not blaming it on that necessarily, but she has got a lot of inbuilt things.
So are you suggesting that women don't face a double standard in politics?
I'm just saying that I think the voice question with her is that she does have a voice that people find annoying, just like they do with Robert F. Kennedy.
Yeah, that's true. Robert F. Kennedy's is a medical condition, and Kamala Harris, I don't know why she speaks the way she speaks. Maybe that's the way her parents speak. A lot of it, though, is affectation. A lot of it is Cammy pretending to be somebody. That, I think, is what people sense in her. She pretends to be black. She had never identified as black. I think people can sense that fake quality. She pretends to be gaily amused at inappropriate times. That seems sociopathic to people. And let's remember this. Cammy Harris is in that position solely because she is what is in actuality a woman, and because she successfully made the transition from being an Indian woman to a black woman. She transitioned. This is an example of what the media was demanding. They demanded that Biden commit to selecting only a so-called woman of color. This is Joy Reid.
Are you committed to naming a black woman as your vice presidential running mate?
That was a question to the figurehead that Joy Reid was asking on her program. I mean, it was rhetorical. The figurehead wasn't there. And then there's this.
What makes this so ugly is that it reveals a truth that is clearly broadly held within Republican circles, that white men, by definition, when they have a job, earned it and deserve it. And anybody but a white man is a DEI hire.
Do you want to hear the first one again? Yeah, this was Joy Reid in 2020.
Are you committed to naming a black woman as your vice presidential running mate?
This is Joy Reid in 2024.
What makes this so ugly is that it reveals a truth that is clearly broadly held within Republican circles, that white men, by definition, when they have a job, earned it and deserve it. And anybody but a white man is a DEI hire.
Well, Cammy Harris is a DEI hire. By definition, the requirement was that the person be a woman, whatever that means, and of color, whatever that means. I guess Cammy was of color when she was an Indian woman. And yet, I guess the wrong color, or not to coin or use a horrible and now I think racist phrase, a colored person. Maybe she wasn't colored. When you deal in racism, you deal in racism. And DEI is, by nature, racism. Cammy Harris then now all of a sudden pushing DEI, because she didn't always do that, is of course pushing racism, which tells us more about her and why people may not like her. I think people can sense her fake qualities, the fake laugh, the affectation, the affecting a... Well, let's say different way of speaking to black people. You know the way Hillary Clinton did that in that black church? I don't feel no ways, turd. It's not how you speak. Nor is it the way Cammy speaks when she goes to black churches. She becomes someone else. It's code shifting. I guess a lot of people do it. Who else is Cammy Harris? Cammy Harris was the Attorney General of the state of California by virtue of her career in politics, which started by providing sexual services to Willie Brown, a married man several decades her elder, who, by the way, as I understand it, bought her a BMW because she earned it and made sure that she received a series of government posts that, well, she, of course, earned. And once she was Attorney General, she was so craven that when Planned Parenthood came along and said, hey, there's a journalist who's investigating us and they have proven, he's proven that we're selling body parts of little babies and it's very, very inconvenient for us because this is a crime. What can you do to help us? Well, according to David DeLeiden with the Center for Medical Progress, Cammy Harris was willing to do a whole lot against him.
A raid on your apartment?
Yeah. So in April of 2016, at the behest of Planned Parenthood, Kamala Harris ordered a search warrant served on my home in Orange County. I think it was a total of 11 agents of the California Department of Justice sent by Kamala Harris came in, overturned my entire one-bedroom apartment. They seized all of the video recording equipment, all of my computer equipment, everything that was all the electronic equipment that was used to do the undercover filming. fortunately, there were backup hard drives, and you know, attorneys had copies of stuff and other things. So they didn't take anything that I absolutely needed in order to continue to do my work. But they primarily, they were looking for the videos, and they were looking for the original videos. We have in the investigator notes from the Attorney General's office. Now they recorded in their case notes Planned Parenthood specifically requesting of Kamala Harris's office that they would specifically go in and seize the videos from me. So they were trying to take all the raw footage away and trying to do a huge cover-up. They weren't successful at doing that, but that's just one of many things that Kamala Harris, as Attorney General of California, was willing to do to put the powers of her law enforcement office at the service of the interests of a powerful and favored political backer at Planned Parenthood.
And part of the technocratic medical elite. Kamala Harris knows who pays the bills with the Democrat National Committee. She knows who the big donors are. So as I open the segments with this story by Seymour Hersh, contending that it was Barack Hussein Obama who made the phone call to the figurehead, telling him, hey, Joe, we're going to use the 25th Amendment to get you out of the way unless you stand down. He had the backing of Nancy Pelosi, apparently, and Chuck Schumer, and the Democratic elite, and of course, Kamala herself. Which, of course, begs the question, well, if you're willing to use it for that, shouldn't it be used anyway? If he's not capable of running, he's not capable of running the country. But then again, that brings morality into this. And when we're talking about politics, and particularly Kamala Harris, there's no point in talking about morality. Well, there's praying for it, and we should. We should. Kamala is beloved by God. I don't know that he finds her voice annoying. He made her. He loves her. We're called to do the same. That's hard, isn't it? She did go and service the technocratic medical elite, if you want to call Planned Parenthood medicine. They're definitely technocratic. They're definitely mobbed up. They're definitely just part of the shadow government. And they're part of a very, very important sector to big government, which is big drug. Representative Jake Auchincloss is talking to CVS Caremark about how much it's charging for a $16 drug for multiple sclerosis. Now, one second. No, I am not suggesting that there should be price caps. Government can't do that. A manipulated economy will be a failed economy. Can't do that. I believe free markets are the most moral way to decide, but we don't have free markets. CVS Caremark is a mobbed up entity. It is an adjunct of government. Big Pharma has made itself an adjunct of government. And the culture in the technocratic medical elite thinks of people like us as objects. There's no morality in their pricing. There's morality in the pricing of decent businesses. You want to make sure people can afford at least what you're selling, particularly if it's life-saving. My wife could charge a lot more for her tutoring. She won't, because she said, Todd, if these families' kids can't read, that's a life requirement. She could charge 3 to 4 times as much per hour as she does, but she doesn't. Representative Jake Auchincloss talking with a CVS Caremark representative.
And this data here is not anecdotal. This is CVS's own data for an employer based in Massachusetts. I'm going to throw out two prices for each drug name, and I want you to guess, Mr. Joyner, which drug is the price CVS charges the employer and which drug is the NADAC price. We've got teriflunomide, which is used to treat multiple sclerosis. It's priced at $6,000, $229, or $16. Which one do you think is the CVS true cost and which one is NADAC?
If it were the true cost price, it would be the lower.
Well, that's interesting, because the answer is the CVS price is $6,229 and NADAC is $16. That is a 38,000% markup. We've got prostate cancer 6,000% above NADAC. We've got leukemia 13,000% above NADAC. Chronic kidney disease 5,000% above NADAC. HIV 4,000% above NADAC. Heart failure, a modest 161% markup above NADAC. These are not aberrations, Mr. Joyner. These are not anecdotal. This is your data.
And companies are free to charge what they want,
but companies are not free to become hospitals. Did you know that? You have to follow very specific rules to be a hospital. You can use the phrase medical center, but you can't be a hospital. There's many things you can't do in so-called healthcare if you run afoul of the insurance complex. For instance, when I had my shoulder surgery, my recent one, and I went to Mexico and got stem cells from placentas and umbilical cords, it accelerated my recovery at least, it's difficult to say, 3,000%. I got push-ups and pull-ups back in 12 weeks. The last time I had that surgery on a different shoulder, it took me 32 weeks, 38 weeks to get any functioning in terms of putting weight over my head. I was doing that at week 18 after the stem cells. Again, from placentas and umbilical cords. Nothing to do, of course, with aborted children. I wouldn't do that, nor would the company with which I work. That stuff in America is illegal because it works. Because it avoids me taking a bunch of drugs. And in a system like this, where they are making illegal the use of things that invented by God heal so well, of course they need people like Kamie Harris who will do exactly what she's told by a donor class. I think that is something else Americans sense about Kamie and another reason they don't like her. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just a couple more examples of, and it extends beyond Kamie Harris. It goes into what sort of people are being, not created, of course God creates people, but being fostered in a government so filled with pride and fear and anger and jealousy and coveting. These are things that just are imbued in government these days. And why would that be? Who in an eternal sense is those things? And who is light and truth? Who is justice? Who is actual temperance? Actual positive tolerance? Who is joy? Who is the opposite of all those things? It's vital that we understand the degree to which our government has fallen. It's vital that we pray for the people in the government who aren't yet fallen. It's vital that we recognize that God is allowing this to happen. It's vital that we thank God for making it very, very clear that He is the sole source of truth because He is truth. He is the sole source of light because He is Himself light. It's vital that we recognize this. It's vital that we recognize the personality of government. Here's one example. This is from the very top. Do you remember Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? They were FBI agents who were having an adulterous affair with one another. And they had a series of email conversations where they talked about their decision to make sure President Trump didn't become president. This isn't speculation. It's not guessing. Their text messages showed this. Peter Strzok said they had an insurance policy against Trump becoming president. He was a government employee, so was Page, working for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, one of the most fearsome law enforcement agencies in the world, with capabilities that stun people when they're used properly, and stun sometimes when they're used improperly. Their capabilities are vast. It was Strzok who said, as I recall, about General Flynn, that he wanted a chance to go interview Flynn again to see if he could, quote, get him to lie. That's called setting up a perjury trap. We got these text messages because they were on government devices. Those devices belong to us. We get to look at what are on our devices. We bought them. We let Page and Strzok use them for work. They sued because their privacy rights had been run over. Page and Strzok sued. It happens that the Department of Justice has decided to give Peter Strzok and probably Lisa Page too, $2 million. This is called sue and settle. The agreement was probably behind the scenes that, hey, just sue us, we'll get you some money, we'll settle, we'll act like, oh, we can't possibly defend this case. So the DOJ would like us to believe that they could not go before a judge and a jury and say, they have no expectation of privacy. These devices belong to the American people. There was a legal process by which these text messages were seen. They signed a document when they went to work knowing that we could retain any and all records on these devices. They could have won that case in 5 minutes. They didn't want to win that case. They wanted to pay off Strzok and Page. Why? So Strzok and Page can walk away and remain silent or be rewarded for their efforts to try to keep President Trump from becoming president. Now, that's from the very tip top. This is not the tip top. This is a guy who's simply a Bridgeport, Connecticut councilman. He got stopped by the police, and we've had to do some bleeping here because of some of the things the gentleman said.
You know who I am? I'm an elected official, and I know my rights.
Okay.
I'm a councilman.
That's fine.
But I'm not speeding.
That doesn't give you the right to not identify yourself on a traffic stop.
What are you talking about? You are
detained on a traffic stop.
You was at the stop sign. I'm slowing down because I thought you was going through.
If you are actually an elected official, you should be embarrassed to yourself, sir.
It was a five-minute conversation where this man, continuing to remind this officer he's an elected official, by the way, not from that district, but continued to remind him he's an elected official, refused for 5 minutes to simply show his driver's license. His excuse, by the way, for speeding was this. There were people behind him. Yeah. It's a road. There's going to be people behind you often on roads, particularly busy roads, highways. See, that's from the bottom. It's not necessarily the bottom. God certainly doesn't rank people that way. But from the top of the hierarchical structure of government to the bottom, there is an arrogance. Again, not all government employees are this way. Maybe most aren't. But from the very tip top, there's a personality of government. And who does that personality strike you as in an eternal sense? Does it strike you as godly or ungodly? That should tell us something. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like that gentleman on tall towers of shaking sand with a future we call the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower Babbling. Remember Don Lemon? He used to have a CNN program and had a very short-lived program on X-Twitter. He made the decision when Elon Musk gave him that program that was going to be promoted, like Tucker Carlson's has been. Don Lemon decided to use that platform to try to embarrass the boss. And he lost that deal with Twitter. Weird. And that Elon owns it. Don Lemon had something to say about Kamala Harris and why people need to vote for her, specifically some people.
This is a movement. White women have answered the call to support
it's
Kamala
a good
Harris.
Thing. So many people.
This
welcome
is
back, guys. We're just going to ride the waves of this.
Largest Zoom call in
history. Let go and let the Zoom gods.
It crashed. 130,000 strong.
What
this
happened?
Is a movement. They're supporting Kamala Harris.
It's not a movement. It's an invention from the top and a chance for people to talk to a famous woman. It's not a movement. But there was something Don Lemon had said earlier about Kamala Harris. I wonder if he'd like to repeat that. That's the second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling.
All she had to do was say, I am black, but I'm not African-American.
I am black, but I'm not African-American. Well, wait a minute. She can't be African-American because she's Jamaican and Indian. But then how can she be black? Because in the nomenclature of the left, black is euphemism for African-American. How can she be any of these things when her claim through her entire life was she was a proud Indian woman? In fact, we'll play later this week a soundbite of Kamala Harris being congratulated on when she was just about to become the first Indian American senator. And she received that congratulations. She didn't say, wait, what are you talking about? I'm a black woman. There is Kamala Harris, the grifting hand grabber, handshaker, the cackling laugher, amused endlessly at things that are just inappropriately not amusing. Then there's Cammy, the theologian, and we'll talk about that later this week. I can't wait to share with you some of the things her pastor has said. And Cammy, who was raised by parents who are leftists, hardcore academic leftists, and that stuff is still part of Kamala Harris. This is the last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling.
We are proud of the fact that equity is one of our guiding principles. Proud of the fact that we understand equality is important, but not everybody starts out on the same base.
And being guided by this principle of what we must do in the spirit and in the interest of equity, to put equity firmly at the center of our economic policy.
Equity means, in the nomenclature of the left, of course, that everybody ends up in the same place by manipulation, by picking and choosing winners and losers. Of course, it goes back to from each according to his means to each according to his needs. It's communism, of course. There have been many challenges on this topic by people who have become leftists, and they are saying it's a Christ-like model. In fact, I will play with you, I'll play for you later this week a clip of a man who had been a Republican all his life, but then Donald Trump came along and he couldn't stand Donald Trump, so he switched over to becoming a Democrat. And now, he says, the Democrat Party with theories like that is far more Christ-like. Factually, Jesus did say, if a man comes to get your cloak, give him your shirt as well. Give him your shirt as well. He did say, give to the least of these. He didn't say, take from others and give to the least of these. He himself could have done that. He didn't. It must come from the heart. Charity always trumps forced giving for the person giving and the person receiving. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Maybe it's because of my age. I'll be 57 coming up in August. Maybe it's because of that extinction burst that men have at this age, that extinction burst of energy and. Is, for instance, the fitness pursuits I'm on. There's a lot of my friends who are on that. A friend of mine changed his health life. He was not a healthy man. He now runs Ironmans. He's gotten very good at, particularly on the biking portion, become a very, very good biker. And maybe it's that. But I'm in this wrestling match with God. And one of the things with which I'm wrestling is, did I really start my last big business? Really? Did I really start the last thing that's going to be, tech that's going to employ a bunch of people? And in that wrestling, I often awake with that question. And that dominates my mind. And I find myself failing to be as, grateful as I should be. That God has said, no, I have a defined task for you. Your defined task right now of the podcasts and the radio show. And I am endlessly grateful to be on AFR. I don't know why. Because of the family of God, the body of Christ, to work within it, and to be surrounded by people who I know, they have my back. I've not met them personally. I know they have my back because they serve the Lord Jesus. They serve the Lord Jesus so clearly because of the fruits of their labors. I can see that. And yet I wake so often with the thought of what I could go, quote, create, I and my pride, versus what God has created for me and handed me. AFR show is a great example of God simply saying, hey, I'm going to give you something to do, and it's very important, and it's a huge honor, and accept it. So I've started to do this. When I walk into the studio, because I don't do this at home, I do this near home. When I walk into the studio, I'm stopping at the corner of the studio. And it happens that this building is in a beautiful prairie. We live up in the mountains. This is in a beautiful prairie. I can see for miles. I can see up into the mountains, the mountain range from hence I came. And I stop and I thank God. I thank him for the sky and the sun. And then I remind myself that how is it that I need to apply effort to thank the creator when I'm busy here thinking about creations? In other words, wanting to worship the creation rather than the creator. And what the Lord has said to me in this is one day, you're going to understand what I was teaching you. One day. I've shared with you that God has said to me that my prayer words this year need to be patience, humility, and love. I had wanted them to be obedience, humility, and joy. The Lord changed them on the spot. So it's patience. It doesn't require to me a lot of humility to be humbly grateful for this program. I am astounded that 180 radio stations air this. I am astounded at the number of you who join us every day. That doesn't take a lot of humility. Maybe that's because of my age. What is taking some work is being patient to understand what is it that God is teaching me. As he says, no, now's not the time for you to go start yet another business, Todd. Your time is to settle and to find in this love, to learn to love. That's interesting. I'm going to be 57. And God wants me to learn to love properly. So, that's part of what I'm to learn. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and until God decides we're going to speak again, his peace will show. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben. This is Ben.